Good morning, church. It is a great joy once again to be in the house of the Lord, to worship God, to listen to His word, to bring our prayers and supplication, now to sit down and be addressed by God Himself through the preaching of His word. So may the good Lord then help us to listen, help us to have our eyes and our ears open to the reading of His word. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We're continuing on our study on the gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. And I shall read then from the ESV. I'm reading from verse 1 to verse 11. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, "All this I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. Behold, angels came and were ministering to him. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth in our hearts. Last week we considered how Jesus, the eternal Son of the living God, how he revealed the power that is in the word of God, challenging us to know the word of God, challenging us to obey the word of God, challenging us also to apply the word of God in our own situation, to apply the word of God in our own circumstances, challenging us to seriously consider how we handle, how we think, and how we look at the word of God. So this morning, we look at the first temptation of Jesus Christ. So we shall spend our time in verses 2 to verse 4. The temptation of Jesus Christ. Here again, we come to see Jesus. We meet Jesus again as we did last week. But now we see Jesus battling the devil who appeared in the wilderness to make sure that our need to stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus is not met. That is his purpose. He comes to tempt Jesus, trying to lead him to dishonor God, trying to lead him to put God to the test. But in this temptation, God also reveals to us the Messiah. That is the very big point, or the main point of the whole book of the whole gospel according to Matthew, revealing to us the Messiah. So he reveals to us this Messiah even here in this temptation, the only man to overcome temptation, the only man to overcome Satan. So then as we sit together this morning, the question that should be in our mind, the question that should be in the surface of our hearts, the question that we need to cover this morning, very simple. If Jesus is for us, let me put it this way. Since Jesus is for us, what then do we benefit from this temptation? What is our benefit from this temptation? I have three thoughts for you. Three thoughts to help us see the big picture. Three thoughts to help us see this temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially this first temptation for this morning. Firstly, I would like us to see that Jesus truly identified with us. Jesus identified with us. And there's a reason, a very important reason why this is important, that Jesus identify with us. We look in our Bibles, we see that in verse 2, the Bible says, after 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. I want you to concentrate in that word. He was hungry. Jesus was hungry. In other words, he needed sustenance. He was in need of nourishment. He was starving, just like one of us. We do starve as well. Matthew reveals that Jesus then is not an angel. Jesus is man like us. He comes to the wilderness, or is led to the wilderness by the Spirit of God as man, just like me and you, in weakness and in limitations. But the Bible also makes it clear that it was necessary for Jesus to be man, my friends. It was necessary for him to be one of us, to be born truly human, though in God. He made himself lower than the angels. He made himself of no reputation. He made himself despised even by the devil, willing to be despised, willing to be disregarded even by the devil here in the wilderness. Indeed, without ceasing to be omnipotent, disregarded by the devil, make himself of no reputation, but without ceasing being God, without ceasing being omnipresent, without ceasing to be the most holy God, holy, 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 without ceasing being true and being good. So in his incarnation, he became man in all that man is, except in sin. To reveal the Father, he became man to reveal the Holy Father to this world of sin. To stand as man's acceptable and pleasing substitute before God. To redeem mankind from the wrath of God. Because God demanded justice over sin. God demanded justice and a perfect sacrifice for the sin of man. So in his incarnation, he takes our form, our human form, so that he may sympathize with us in our weakness. Jesus sympathized with us in our weakness, to be the one whom in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here in verse 2 tells us that after praying, after communicating, after having this beautiful, wonderful fellowship with God, after having this intimacy with God, after communicating, speaking to God, hearing from God, then the Bible tells us that Jesus was hungry. His humanity left him. The humanity of Jesus left him to be physically drained and also be exposed to attack. Just because he chose to be man, now the fact that he's man exposes him to be physically drained like you and me. It exposes him to the attack of the devil. He became weak in the body, as you would expect with any person who will go without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And what takes place after that is actually a clear demonstration that the devil will always attack when man is weak in the body. When man is weak, the devil will attack, my friends. When the desires of the flesh rises, the devil sees an opportunity to strike. He strikes while the iron is hot. He does not wait for another day. He strikes today. When he sees an opportunity today, he strikes today. There is also, my friend, a spiritual significance here. Not only that, when man is weak in the body, then the devil strikes. There is also a spiritual significance, my friend, because we are born weak, dead in our sin and trespasses, completely alienated from God, and consequently we have become the devil's playground. But here is Jesus in the wilderness. Here is Jesus in the wilderness for us who are weak, for us who have rebelled against him. Verse 2 says he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And perhaps these 40 days and 40 nights should remind you of the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, who were in the wilderness also for 40 days and 40 nights. Perhaps that should make some kind of sense as I explain it. Perhaps you should put it in your mind, because these very same two men, they appeared with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Mount of His Transfiguration in Matthew 17, verse 3. They appeared with Him there for a greater purpose, yes. But also, I think they appeared there so that we also learn that those who share the suffering of Christ in this world today, they shall also share in His glory when He comes. Those who share in His suffering today shall also share in His glorifications, my friends. But in our context today, I think these 40 days and 40 nights should also point to us, to these prophets of the old, yes, but point to us that Jesus is our prophet. Jesus is the one who reveals God to us. Jesus is the one who speaks on behalf of God to us. Jesus is the one who communicates to people the truth that comes from God, the truth that God wants His people to know. And this prophet, Jesus Christ, by God's grace, He is one of us, our perfect representative, who lived our lives so that we may live His life, who identified with us so that we may identify with Him. The one greater than Adam. The one who suffered the most severe temptation than that of Adam. Because we all know, my friends, that Adam only abstained as to a particular fruit and only for a little while. But here is Jesus Christ, our Lord, without food for 40 days and 40 nights. He had to suffer so greatly, my friend. Why will the Son of God suffer greatly and severe than Adam? Because He had to carry the sins of Adam. He had to carry the failures of Adam. He had to carry our failures and our sins, the sins of His people, upon His shoulders. He suffered a suffering that no one can ever imagine. He suffered more than any person could ever witness or bear. He suffered more than any person can ever imagine, my friends. Jesus suffered physically. That's what we realize here in verse number 2. He shared our physical needs, my friends. He became hungry for us. Yes, He became thirsty for us. He became tired for us. So that you who believe in Him may look unto Him. So that you who believe in Him may look unto Him in your own suffering in this world. So that even though you may lack for a little while, though you may lack bread for a little while, though you may suffer for a little while, that you may still remain under the lead of the Holy Spirit. That you may still remain loved in heaven. Maybe I should ask, my friends, maybe it's very important to ask at this very point in time, do you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we're living in a world where people go according to status. They want to identify with people of high status. People would like to identify with the American president, the US president Barack Obama. They would like to identify with Mr. Patrice Motsepe for all his millions. Of course, people are choosing. They will not identify with Robert Mugabe, which I understand. They won't identify with our president Jacob Zuma, which I don't understand, but people choose to identify with people of great status. Who do you identify with? Whom do you want to identify with, my friend? Because people like this, we want to identify with them. We want to be where they are. We want to eat breakfast with them. We want to have lunch with them. But here is the problem. Such people that we adore, these people we want to identify with, in most cases, they don't want to identify with us. But here is Jesus, the Son of God, the darling of heaven, coming from heaven to earth to identify with a people who does not want to identify with Him. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, coming from heaven. He chose to be found in human form. He chose to be found humble. He chose to be found as pure as it could be, to be found obedient to God, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Here is Jesus Christ, my friend. He comes, he chose to be found hungry, to be found thirsty, to be found tired and weak, to be found numbered among the transgressors, to be found numbered with people of no love to him, people of great sin. But he comes to be found numbered with them so that we may love him, so that we may identify with him. But the most important thing that you need to draw from this point, my friend, that Jesus identifies with us, is the fact that Satan will also want to identify with you. That is why Satan comes to Jesus. He says to Jesus, now you command these stones to become bread. Because he realized that Jesus is hungry. Satan himself wants to identify with you, my friend. He comes to Jesus when Jesus is hungry. He will come to you when you are in your great need, my friend. He will come to you when you need the most. So beware of the devil, for he roams around like a hungry lion looking for someone to devour. So the best thing to do is to identify with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who came to identify with us. But the second thing I want us to see here is the nature of these temptations. The nature of this temptation. In verse 3, what do I mean? Maybe let's start there. What do I mean by a nature? What kind of a temptation is this? What is this temptation all about? So in verse 3 we see the Bible tells us that the tempter came and he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become loaves of bread. In other words, this Satan challenges Jesus to show off his status. He challenges Jesus to show off his power. He wants to test Jesus, testing him to use his divine power so that he may bypass the route or the path of righteousness, the path of suffering that God has set before him. He wants him to take a shortcut. That is the problem here. Just like he did in the Garden of Eden, Satan now begins to attack the will of God, calling the will of God into question, asking Jesus to disobey God. Shortcuts, disobedience. He admits, give him death. Satan admits that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He doesn't doubt. He doesn't say, I'm not sure if you are the Son of God. Prove to me. Since you are the Son of God. He knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He admits that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because God has already said that in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased. There is no dispute whether Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No, this is not about a dispute. This is not about proving to me in primarily. It's not about that. There's no dispute there. But the evil mentality, the evil mind, or the evil advice behind these whole words is very simple, my friend. Break the fast and disobey God. Break the fast, eat. Break the fast, satisfy the flesh. Remember, Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Here comes the devil. Break the fast. Eat. Break the fast, satisfy the flesh. He speaks as though God deprived Jesus from eating. God didn't say Jesus must fast for 40 days. No, there was no specific time that was given to Jesus Christ. God does not deprive Jesus from eating on day 21. You can fast for 21 days, you can fast for 7. But Satan comes if as though God deprived Jesus from eating. Says, now use your power. Make food for yourself. Multiply things. Make things the way you will do as you are the Son of God. Therefore, he reveals from this temptation that it is all about disobeying God and obeying Satan. It is all about listening to Satan and satisfying the human need. It is all about listening to Satan and falling to his trap and be disqualified to stand as man for man. It is all about making sure that you and me remain the enemies of God forever. Why? Because those who disobey God remains the enemies of God. They are the enemies of God. And of course, they are the friends of Satan. You can see from this temptation, my friends, if you read it very careful, you will see that Satan, he knows exactly when to strike. He knows that the first thing that the hungry man will do, what is the first thing that the hungry man will do? He will seek for food. The first thing that the hungry man will do, will think about, he will think about food. The first thing that men in general will do is to think about ways of satisfying self. And that is exactly what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. He would rather eat than obeying the law of God. But Jesus turned the situation around. Jesus made this an opportunity to regain what Adam lost. To learn obedience which Adam could not learn or would not learn. To reveal the true character of the sons of God to Israel, the true character of the sons of God to the whole world. What is the true character of the sons of God? The sons of God are led by the Spirit. The sons of God, they listen to God. The sons of God, they worship. The sons of God do not put God to the test. The sons of God put God first. That is what Jesus is revealing to us in this temptation as well. Putting God first. Unlike Adam, who willingly participated in sin and transgressed the law of God. Unlike Adam, who could have actually refused to participate, but he chose to do so. And consequently, humanity lost the battle against Satan. And then, 6,000 or 7,000 years later, here we stand, me and you, in enmity with God, outside the blood of Christ, because of one deed. In enmity before God. But God, in His grace and mercy, He promised to send a Redeemer who will bruise the head of the serpent. And this event that is happening here in chapter number 4, my friends, it gives us the foretaste then of that defeat of Satan. But it also revealed to us the fact that Satan's aim for us, there is one aim for Satan for us, my friend. There was one aim for the devil for you is sin. That is all it is. That is the aim of the devil, sin. He tries to get Jesus to sin. He will always try to get you to sin. He tempts you to move away from God's purpose and God's plan. He wants to put you on the wrong side of God. He seeks to get your eyes off of God. He wants you to not to carry your cross and follow Jesus, but that you may carry your sin and die miserable, that you may carry your sin and always be burdened by your sin. That is the will, that is the purpose of Satan, my friends, that you may look away from the will of God. Is not what Satan or the devil is doing here. Look away from the purpose of God. That is why, my friends, you need to understand the true nature of this temptation and the consequences that comes with falling into such a temptation. Because this is the temptation which will lead you to believe that if you will follow it, you will be happy. That's the kind of the temptation. There is some kind of a whisper in your ear, a whisper from the devil, whispering on your ear. Command the stones into bread. Command the stones and be happy. Command the stones and be satisfied. Command the stones and be fulfilled. And that is precisely what people want, my friends. Happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment. The voice of the devil whispering behind your ear, saying, sell yourself, sell your soul, and have a best life now. Whispering behind your ear, all that matters is you. All that matters is your happiness. Do not concern yourself about sin and the judgment of God. There is no way that a loving and a gracious God will send people to hell. There is no way. He is loving and he is kind. That is the whisper behind your ear, so that you may move focus from God. Oh, my friends, wake up from sleep. It is not so. He sent an innocent, sinless, blameless and upright man to the cross to die and suffer the wrath of God, to drink your hell. God sends Jesus to the cross to die for sins that are not of his own, knowing exactly, knowing accurately, knowing for sure that Jesus had not sinned. But he sent that innocent, sinless Lamb of God to the slaughter, knowing exactly and aware that Jesus was not a depraved, God-hating, law-breaking son of Adam. But yet, he crushed his only begotten son. That is God. The God who hates sin. The God who even hates those who sin, my friends. So friends, look at this temptation. Command the stones to become bread. It looks innocent. Such an innocent command, such an innocent advice. There is nothing wrong, my friend, in turning stones into bread. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus later on will turn water into wine. There's nothing wrong performing a miracle. John the Baptist has already told us in chapter 3, verse 9, that God will turn stones into the children of Abraham. Nothing wrong turning stones into bread. Praise the Lord our God that stones like me has also been turned to a son of Abraham. So Jesus' primary mission is to turn stones into 10 things to life. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is to obey the voice of Satan, to break the fast and satisfy the flesh, to dishonor the lead of the Holy Spirit, to put God to the test. But listen to this one, to put yourself, your own interest, and your own values first. Is that not you, my friend? Are you not that kind of a person who puts his values first, who puts his interest first, dishonoring the lead of the Holy Spirit? Skipping church, skipping the means of grace just to satisfy the desires of the flesh on the day of the Lord? Is that not you, my friend? Thinking that you and your agenda are more important, you and your agenda comes first, then God comes second? Is that the way you want to live your life and be remembered? Someone who glorifies self, someone who obeys Satan, someone who does not obey God? Friends, will you not search your heart? Friends, will you not ask God to show you where you are disobeying him, where you are following the lead of Satan? Will you not ask God then to show you your own disobedience? Friends, the nature of this thing, of this sin. Obey me. Disobey God. But thirdly, what is the nature of the response? Because there is a response. Jesus Christ had to respond. What kind of a response does Jesus Christ bring? Why will Jesus Christ respond in such a way as well? So looking at Jesus' answer in verse number 4, it says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We cannot help but see here that Matthew does not only aim to reveal to us Jesus as the last Adam, meaning Jesus who will do in contrary to what Adam did, Jesus who will obey God and set things right. Matthew's aim is not only that, but also to reveal to us that Jesus is the true Israel. He's telling us that Jesus in his attack, Jesus in his temptation, focused back to what God said in the Old Testament, the words of God in the Old Testament. He says, Jesus said to the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He speaks these powerful words of God, spoken by God to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, whereby Moses reminds the Israel that God had led them to the wilderness to test them, to try them, to see their love for him. Sometimes temptations come for that purpose. Moses reminds them these things in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 3. God led you to the wilderness to test you. But more than that, it was not just a test that God finally did, but also he provided sustenance, nourishments for you by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word of God. How did he do that? Remember the manna they received, the manna that they ate. And now Jesus, he insists that bread is not the absolute necessity. Bread should not be priority or the number one item on your menu, my friend, but obedience to God, obedience to his word. So he refuses to turn these stones into bread. What does he do? He strikes back. He's not gonna stand there helpless and listen to the devil taking charge of his life. He strikes back by the word of God. He strikes back by this weapon which the devil cannot stand. The powerful living word of God, making a clear demonstration, my friend, that power and miracle working is not a proof that you are the son of God. What is the proof that you are the son of God? What is the proof that you are a child of God, a daughter of God? Obedience to God. Obedience to the word of God. So he refuses to turn the stones into bread, showing us that sons of God listen to God. Sons of God obey God. Sons of God honor God. They have the word of God on the tip of their tongue. The first thing that comes when they attack is the word of God on the tip of their tongue. So this is a clear demonstration to us, my friend, that in the wilderness you must be continually led by the Spirit. In the wilderness you must be continually led by God. In the wilderness it remains God's responsibility and duty to sustain you. This is not your duty, it is God's duty and responsibility to sustain you in your suffering, to sustain us in our all needs, in our all want. It is God's responsibility. You just have to trust in God. You just have to depend on God. Get this one right. You just have to set your priorities right. That is the nature of this response. Spiritual priority. Spiritual priority, my friends. You need to set your priorities right. Unlike the Israel of the old, who refused to submit to God during her time of testing in the wilderness. So all that he did, he demanded more bread, more food. They ate and they died. But in the contrary, yes, the Son of God, who will not demand food in the wilderness, he denies the bread. He chose to retain his righteousness and he lived. Depending on the word of God is a step forward. That is what each and every Christian should do. Depending on the word of God, it is to admit spiritual priorities, my friends. In the book of Deuteronomy, you can see how Moses highlights the importance of priorities, teaching the children of God to prioritize, teaching the children of God to look unto Jesus, not to the world. Remember when they were bitten by snakes? What did Moses say? He said, look up to that brother snake. The same thing Jesus in the book of John chapter number 3 says, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness, so shall be the Son of Man. Later on, he says, then when the Son of Man is lifted up, when the eyes gaze upon him on that cross, I will draw men unto me. Spiritual priorities. Choosing to die, choosing to suffer, choosing to die in hunger rather than to disobey God, choosing to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God, because the word of God is a better and a greater gift than the bread you will buy from your Kenyan friend around the corner. The word of God is a better gift. Give me the words. So we are called, my friend, to be different than the old Israel, the Israel of the past, who will not prioritize God, and they did not enter into his rest. Though they were set free, listen to this one, though they were set free from Egypt, they were set free from physical bondage, but they still remain under spiritual bondage. Maybe, and just maybe, you are also being set free from physical bondage. Maybe you have been healed somehow. Maybe you are no longer lazy to wake up in the morning and come to church. Maybe it is easy for you now to come to God, to church. Let me put it that way. But here's the question that still remains. Are you being set free from your spiritual bondage, my friend? Is your priority spiritual priorities? Are we living in the light of the gospel? Are we living in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we living in the light of the kingdom of God? Are we not abusing the freedom that is given to us by God by then sinful priorities? Does your response to the gospel glorify God, or your response to your situation glorifies God? Does your response, my friend, build the church? Because that is exactly what we see here in this temptation, in this response of the Lord Jesus Christ. His response glorified God. He points back to his word. His response glorified God. Is that your response, my friends, to glorify God? That is what we see. He focuses on his mission to build the church. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And this should tell you, my friend, it should tell you right now that spiritual life should take precedence over physical life, because spiritual life is eternal. It endures. It endures after physical death. And these verses, they prove to us that lack of food is not what kills men spiritually, nor separates men from God. No. But looking down on the word of God, becoming your own master, becoming your own God, that is exactly the ultimate killer in your life, not lack of food. You need then to hold fast to the word of God, my friend, because the word of God alone will reveal Jesus to you, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous, not even one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they are lost. Together they have become worthless. But here, I'm repeating, but here is Jesus Christ. But here is Jesus Christ. He passes the test, my friends, so that you or those who are in him will be counted righteous. Which is why I think this temptation serves us well as the church, serves us well as the children of God, so that we may see this temptation. It reveals the devil who brought sin into the world, but it also reveals the Son of God, the seed of a woman who will fight, who will win the battle against the devil, who will defeat the devil. Yes, my friend, I know it is true. We all know temptation is there. And there are temptations in this world that we sadly fall unto simply because our flesh is naturally weak. But here is a God revealed unto us, a God who will not lead us to be tempted beyond our capabilities to stand firm, a God who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. So let each and every one of us, my friend, look unto Jesus in his time of temptation. Look unto Jesus to overcome the lust of the flesh. Hold on to the word of God, because if you ignore the word of God, you'll be drawn away from the truth. Every person who has ignored the word of God has been drawn away from the truth. So if you look away from God, you'll find yourself an enemy an enemy of God. You remain on the wrong side of God. Who wants to remain on the wrong side of God, my friends? So I can tell you, you need to consider the word of God. Keep yourself under the control of the word of God. Keep yourself under the instruction of the word of God. Keep yourself under the lead of the word of God, the lead of the Holy Spirit. The nature of the response, spiritual priority. Where is your priority, my friend? Where does your priority lies? That is the question each and every one of us should ask. Let me quickly close by reminding you again what I was trying to say. Let me remind you the question, the ultimate question I posed at the beginning. In what manner do we benefit from this temptation? First, Jesus in his incarnation took upon himself our humanity, put upon himself our form. He became man like us. He became hungry as we do, identifying with us. He was tempted as we are, yet without sin, my friends, so that he may be able to sympathize with us in our own weakness. Secondly, very short, there is more to life than just fulfilling physical desires. That's the nature of the sin. There is more in life than fulfilling physical desires. Let the physical desires not draw you to the camp of the devil. Thirdly, you should depend upon the word of God. Make it your priority. Make it a weapon of your warfare, because material sustenance alone cannot truly satisfy you, my friend. You need the spiritual sustenance from the word of God. Yes, Jesus Christ, he turned into victory what Satan intended for failure. Why will Jesus Christ turn into victory what Satan intended for failure? So that he may strengthen us in every point where the devil will want to find us weak. Because the devil wants to find us weak. So Jesus turned the situation around so that we may be found on the right side of God. Are we on the right side of God? Jesus remained on the right side of God by overcoming the temptation of the devil, by refusing to look away from God, but look unto God, obeying God, taking heed unto the word of God. As we look at this first temptation, let us be reminded, the aim of the devil is to move us offshore, to point us to a different direction when God points us to another, to make sure that we disobey God. But Jesus Christ stands to overcome death, so that we may look unto him, learn from him, so that we may be as he is in his suffering, that we may share, that one day God will say, good, faithful servant, come into the kingdom prepared by God my Father from the foundation of the world. And he will say to the goats on his left-hand side, go to everlasting destruction, which was prepared for the devil and the demons. May the good God bless us as we contemplate on this thing. Obeying God, obeying God, obeying God. Let's pray. Siyabonga Nkosi nasekuseni, Heavenly Father, your word that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us as we look deep into this temptation of Jesus Christ, the first temptation. Thank you for reminding us that, Lord, we must not and never look away from Christ, because that is the aim of the devil, trying to move us offshore, trying to point us to a direction that seems to satisfy for a little while, but at the end, the road leads to hell, leads to destruction, oh God. Thank you for reminding us these truths in the wonderful name of your Son. Speak to your people, oh God. Remind your people your word. Speak to me over and over again, that I may bring your word to your people, that the preaching may come into the power of the Holy Spirit, that it may sink in the hearts of men. In the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, may the church of God say amen.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. May the church of God say amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you throughout the week until we see each other again.
Amen.